T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's 6 a.m. Atlanta. Time to get your day started with John and Hugh.
Hugh Douglas.
Good googly moogly.
A three-time Pro Bowler. And John Fricke.
You got serious butthurt.
A man who's watched the Pro Bowl at least 3 times.
Boom shakalaka.
John, a man who covered the Atlanta Chiefs' inaugural season.
And Hugh, who just keeps it real.
I'm good. I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's a Thursday. You can tell it's a Thursday in the fall for a reason. I'll just tell you that in a moment here. Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Hugh Douglas. How you doing this morning, my friend?
Good morning. Good morning, John Fricke. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing, man? Hope everybody had a wonderful Wednesday. It's Thursday. One more day to the weekend. Uh-huh. And we can go ahead and, you know, I guess, you know, like the kids say, turn up. It's college football. We got some things going on.
Bingo. You just hit it on the head. I had to look up the date here. September the 24th.
This month went kind of fast, by the way.
Whew, man.
Yeah. This month went kind of fast, by the way.
No kidding. I mean, we're already to Thursday. You can tell it's a Thursday in the fall only because on Twitter, the smack talk has started so bad. For SEC football, which is great to see, by the way. I mean, there's, you know, some sense of normalcy in 2020, you know. We haven't lost that, okay? No matter anything else.
This is true. I mean, it's cool, man. It's, you know, it's here. You know, being in the South, it's a little different because we're, like, in probably the center of some major universities. Like, we're not that far from, like, 4 or 5, like, major SEC universities. You know, when you talk about just jumping in a car and just going to some great stadiums and things of that nature, John, I mean, we're not that far, so it hits a little different down here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have, again, you draw the circle. I always like to say draw the circle around Atlanta and see, driving time, all the national teams that have won national titles here, you know, in the not too recent
past.
It's not that far.
You're not that far away from a lot of great schools, a lot of great history, like all of that. Like, we're not that far.
If you're a big sports fan and you're from, like, Boston, you or Chicago or New York, you know, people that I meet, you know, when the Maven and I sell a home and, you know, in the real estate business, and we you meet people, and I don't think they're prepared for college football. I just don't think that, you know, they don't understand it. You know, they come down here, you know, thinking, okay, you know, baseball and, you know, if they're big sports fans and the NFL and, you know, the NBA and whatnot, and they come down here and they see, you know, the whole concept of the flag thing for starters, you know, on cars. They're like, what? Why has everybody got flags in there? Well, what in the world? You know, I mean, it's like, welcome to college football.
Yes. It hits a little different down here. It does. It really does. It hits a lot different.
It's sort of like the same thing would happen if you went to Dallas. High school football is huge here. Don't misunderstand me. We're going to have high school football tonight. We're going to have a beautiful night tomorrow for high school football. High school football is gigantic here. But it's not what it is in Dallas. Even though I think the high school football is better here than it is in Dallas now.
High school football in Dallas is like there's guys in Dallas right now that are still living off of and eating free off of some touchdowns that they threw in high school. And they didn't go any further than that. Like that's how big it is in Dallas. Like you're still eating good at the Sizzler in Dallas because you took your high school to the state championship and you won.
Yeah, and if you don't believe that in front of your computer, Google high school football state Stadium Allen, Texas, or High School Football Stadium, High School Football Stadium, Plano, Texas, P-L-A-N-O. Either Allen, like it sounds, A-L-L-E-N, or Plano. And just take a look at their stadiums. I mean, Hugh, they're 32,000 seats with luxury suites, and they sell out season tickets.
I believe it. I mean, yeah. I mean, I've never seen a high school. The closest thing that I've seen like that, John, what was it? When we went to Grayson? When the Falcons went to practice, and I was like, you know, coming from the Midwest and coming from a small town, we had a nice stadium, but boy, you talk about some of these other stadiums. And then it was another, I can't think of the school that we went to.
McEachern.
My son, McEachern, I think it was McEachern, when my son had a track meet somewhere. I forgot where it was, but. It's some really nice stadiums. That these schools have, high schools have.
And they're nothing compared to what they have in Texas. I mean, what they have in Texas literally is, I mean, state of the art. I mean, you just can't even believe that that's really a high school stadium. I mean, it's nicer than most college stadiums. I mean, it's nicer
than like the one we talking about, Grayson, is way nicer than the college stadium that I played in at Welcome Stadium. Yeah.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Braves win last night again. They're red hot. Their bats are smoking. You know, they're fighting for the number two seed. They're a couple of games up now on the Cubs. I, as we mentioned yesterday, think it's totally a pointless battle. Whether you finish number two or number three means nothing. I mean, it literally means nothing because of the fact that you're going to host somebody in the opening round, and then after that, you're going to a neutral site, and so there's no home field advantage. I guess you get a bat last, you know, in one more game in the next round. Okay, maybe that's all it means. But nonetheless, the Braves trying for the sweep tonight as they send Ian Anderson to the mound against the Miami Marlins, and we're now just waiting for the season to play out. They'll play Miami tonight and then a three-game set against Boston, and then we'll move on to next Wednesday. The question is this morning here, Hugh, next Wednesday in the playoff opener against whoever it's against, will Max Fried be able to go on the mound?
Yeah, I think he will. You know, it wasn't funny, but it was really weird last night when he, twisted his ankle a little bit. Just the text messages between us that were going back and forth, well, between you and Abe, I should say, that we're going back and forth and just how, you know, you can't really tell anybody's mood in text, but I could tell you guys' mood with the way that you were tweeting, because you were really stressed out for a little while. You guys were really stressed for about 5 whole minutes. And I'd even throw Orin into that mix too, because you guys were just like, what is going on? What is he doing? Why are they talking to him?
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about, Hugh. It's not like I texted Will Carroll immediately to get instant analysis on.
I think you just like from you just said that. I think you just did. I think that happened. I mean, since you mentioned it, I mean, now that you mentioned it, I think that happened. I think that when we talk about how much he means to the starting rotation, and let me tell you what I think happened last night, and this is why I feel like you probably did do that. Because before that, he gave up his first home run in seven starts last night. He gave his first one.
And then another.
I don't know what you're talking about, Hugh. I definitely did not text Ryan Spader and tell him thanks for jinxing Max Fried. I definitely didn't do that either.
Okay, are you going to let me finish my thought process? But that probably, for a lot of people, got the juices turning as far as using that C word, you know, that curse word, you know, curse. So that probably got a lot of people a little uneasy. And then the fact, a little bit after that, then he rolled his ankle, and they set him down, and, like, for about, what, 2 or 3 minutes during the broadcast, that's all the conversation was. So, it was a little bit – I think it was a whole lot of paranoia that was going on.
Well, given everything that's gone on in Atlanta.
Exactly. Yeah, see, I knew that was the case because the text messages were flying fast and furious. And I'm like, dude, are these dudes really feeling like yeah. I didn't say it. I was just listening, but you were feeling, you were thinking curse. You guys were thinking curse.
Well, because I think there really is a belief, Hugh, that, you know, a healthy Max Fried, you know, and Ian Anderson and Kyle Wright, that we might be able to just, with these bats, this team hits so well. And I know that everybody says, you know, pitching wins. Yes, I'm well aware of the fact that pitching wins. I'm also well aware of the fact that, you know, if you don't have any hitting, you can lose too. But we might just have enough starting pitching to get us to the bullpen, to get those bats going, that we can do some damage. And then you never know what could happen. So, but without Max Fried, oh my God, we're already without Mike Soroka, and without, you know, Cole Hamels, and Nuke was a flame out, and Foldy was a flame out, and Felix didn't pitch, and all that, everything else that went on. If Max Fried suddenly can't go, yeah, well, okay, we're done.
No, I get it. I get it. I mean, and it was a whole lot that was in that sequence. And, you know, I know everybody breathed a sigh of relief when they said that, you know, hey, they just, you know, precautionary measure. I know everybody did that. I mean, you know, I kind of did too, but it was just like the level of concern in that short period of time when all this was going on was crazy. I just thought it was crazy.
Atlanta United wins last night. Hey, they won a game. They beat FC Dallas, and then they did so with kind of a makeshift lineup. 1-0, Jeff Lorenowitz scored the only goal of the game on a penalty. And so Atlanta United finally wins, snapping their 7-game winless streak. Believe it or not, I think if I read it right this morning, they're back above the playoff line.
Yeah, they'd make the playoffs. I think Mike Conti tweeted that out last night. Shout out to Mike Conti for doing what Mike Conti does. But yeah, I think he tweeted that out last night. I mean, and it's funny how that one match changes everything.
Everything, I know.
Yeah, it just changes everything. And I think people – did you buy back in, John? Because I knew you, you said you were kind of on the fence.
No, yeah. I'm way on that fence. I want to clarify this. It's not that I'm on the fence or buying back in or not. I'm willing to just accept whatever this season is. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then we get into the offseason, and I have full faith and credit in Darren Eales at Colorado Sports that they're going to fix this. And we're going to be back to being, you know, a serious contender next year. And you'll get Joseph back and whatnot, and you'll kind of get the team on the same page. It's not that I'm not buying back in. I mean, look, if they do anything, that's, to me, everything they do is just a bonus from what I expect it to be, which is nothing. How about that? We have Thursday Night Football for you tonight. Miami and Jacksonville, Dolphins and Jaguars. Doesn't sound like much right now, but you know what? These two teams are in rebuild mode. And who knows how good, you know, Jacksonville actually played they got rid of Ngakoue, they got rid of Fournette, they've gotten rid of everybody, and they've actually played okay so far this season. We'll see if, Fitzpatrick continues to be the starter at Miami. He hadn't played bad, but really Miami's future is sitting on the bench. We'll have that for you tonight as Miami takes on Jacksonville to open week 3 of the NFL. We'll talk about Falcons, we'll talk about Braves, we'll talk about Braves MVP in this hour, and much more. Going to be a busy Thursday with John and Hugh on a beautiful fall morning in Atlanta. Next up, the Morning Mash, as the heat ramps up in the NBA playoffs, figuratively and literally, as we continue after a CBS Sports Minute.
What's happening, Atlanta?
Check it out.
Hey, man, Mike Bell here from Dukes and Bell. And catch our take on the headlines every weekday at about 2:20. Get a fresh perspective on what's going on in the world right here on Dukes and Bell on 92.9 The Game.
It's 6:20, Atlanta. Time for the Morning Mashup.
A recap of the biggest stories of the morning with John and Hugh.
Crazy. You know,
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on a Thursday. Getting you primed for football. We have NFL football tonight with Miami and Jacksonville. And, of course, we have the Braves wrapping up a series against the Marlins. Atlanta United won last night, so a lot of headlines to kind of work through today as we get into the program here. But it is time for the Morning Mashup, where Abe is pinch hitting, and we can actually say pinch hitting because Oren's going to be back on Monday. Hey.
All right, we get the crew back. We get the crew all back together. The band's getting back together. Yay!
Yeah, Abe, not that you haven't done a great job with Morning Mashup, but we're all looking forward to having a big fella back.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
No one more than me. Y'all can talk about it all you want. No one
looking forward because he gets some rest. Abe talking about getting some rest. He's trying to get some rest, John Freaky.
I know he is. Well, it's been a month. I can't believe it's been a month, but it's been a month. Oren's all healthy and ready and raring to go. You probably listened in this morning already at 6:23 in the morning. But you've done a good job with the matchup. Just want to say, well done on your part.
I appreciate that. It's tough filling Oren's shoes. He's got big feet, but
he's got big feet.
I double up on the socks and make it work. And it's all good.
Golly. All right, what you got?
We got NBA action last night, guys, and it happened again in Orlando. Boston Celtics just not getting the job done. Jason Tatum held scoreless in the first half. He did blow up a little bit in the second half. But it was a guy in the Miami Heat kind of took over, took control. It was not Jimmy Butler. It was this fella.
Hero fires away, puts it in. Tyler Hero drills another three. And the Heat back up by four. 28 points for the 20-year-old rookie. Hero with seven to shoot. Hero, long three-pointer. Bang! Tyler Hero from way downtown.
Wow.
33 for the rookie. It's an eight-point lead as we're under 4 minutes remaining.
Ended with 37, hit a couple free throws down the stretch to ice the game. Big performance out of Tyler Hero when the Heat needed it. They take a 3-1 lead, one win away from the NBA Finals for the Miami Heat.
You know what? The one thing that this bubble has done, it's made stars out of light. Like, you're hearing names in the playoffs that you never really hear ever, like during, you know, the playoff scenarios. So that's the one big good thing about it, man. And if the Miami Heat go, I saw the goon shirts that folks had on. I saw D-Wade have on his, and Joy Taylor was wearing hers. You know, they're both like Miami fans, big Miami fans. Thought that's pretty cool, man. So shout out to Miami for that.
Yeah, how about the young kid out of Kentucky? Well, I guess he's not from Kentucky. I mean, I'm trying to remember where he's from. He's not from Kentucky, but he played at Kentucky for a year, and, you know, as it were. You know, I mean, out there – knocking him down, and right, Tyler Hero. He's got the name for it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And it's H-E-R-R-O, but still, Hero. Miami, so it looks like it could be Miami and the Lakers at the moment.
That would be weird. I owe the irony in all of that. Yeah.
The irony would be LeBron against the Heat. And
So, yeah, exposure. Because at one point, you know, there was a rumor. Spolstra. I don't know that if it's true or not. But LeBron was trying to get Spoelstra fired. That's just a rumor. Don't know if it's true. And he could.
And you know, were the Celtics to come back and roar back in the series, and look, teams have come from down 3-1 before. We've seen it.
Denver's done it twice this playoffs, right?
Yeah. So, I was going to say, Nuggets.
The Denver Lakers series is an interesting one. We'll see. You know, whoever wins tonight, I think. Probably goes on. I mean, I don't want to say if Denver evens the series that you count LeBron out at that point, but if they can even that thing up 2-2, that's some major stuff. I think the Lakers will handle business though.
So Orin is blowing up our text line. He is listening. He does have big feet, and Tyler Hero's from Wisconsin. Okay, all right. So
Wisconsin,
there we settled it. Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We have settled it. Morning mashup. Some of the other stories that are going on as we look around the sports landscape here, and before we dive into all of what we have to talk about today, we got a lot to talk about. All right, story number two.
Yeah, Monday Night Football between the Saints and the Raiders, and they had a mega cast featuring the college football guys, and they also had Charles Barkley and Peyton Manning on there, and there was a lot of jibber-jabber between the two of them, Tennessee and Auburn. Trash talk, and so there was a lot to choose from there if you want to go search that out. Good jabs from each guy. But the best jab of the night was actually Peyton Manning, not directed at Auburn or at Charles Barkley. The best jab from Peyton Manning was directed at a team that's been pretty competitive in the AFC in recent years. Here's Peyton Manning, Monday Night Football's megacast on the ESPN Family Networks.
But as soon as the runner's tackled, you're able to hear the play caller talking to the quarterback's ear. He has until 15 seconds on the play clock.
Oh.
And then somebody cuts the line. Now, certain teams, maybe in the Northeast, they don't cut their lines. They actually let it go all the way to 0 seconds. But for most of the team, they do cut the lines, so you have to get the play in earlier.
What do you think he meant, guys? Some team in the Northeast? I don't know what.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard those rumors before. I mean, there's been accusations that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have talked to each other quite a bit. Speaking of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, has anybody seen any of Bill Belichick's commercials that he's been doing for Subway?
Going with the other story.
Oh, what's the other story, Abe?
Did you see Bill Belichick's sweatshirt yesterday?
No, I did not.
Yeah, the holy sweatshirt.
Oh, boy.
And we're not talking about,
you got any clothes still from college?
Church holy.
Not from college.
High school?
I got some clothes older than my children, though. I got a couple t-shirts.
What sort of condition is it?
Pretty decent. I mean, you know, I could still wear it, but, you know, my kids talk about the fact that I still have it. But, yeah, I got a couple sweatsuits.
You got to go on the tweet, Hugh, and find images of Bill Belichick's sweatshirt during his press conference yesterday.
Okay.
It is ratty.
That's being kind.
Yeah, and that's all right. Like, that was the goal, right? That was everyone's everyone was posting. That's the American dream, right? Be so good at what you do that no one can
You don't
even
care,
say anything
even
about
care
it.
What you – yeah, what
yeah,
you have
do whatever
on.
You
yeah.
want. Yeah, there's no repercussion because, like, I mean, we're pretty relaxed in terms of a dress code here at work.
Yeah.
We're allowed to wear athletic gear, especially if it's got one of the local teams on it. But I think – and look, one of my favorite Brave shirts has a hole in it, and I don't wear it to work anymore.
Why not?
Because it has a hole in it.
It has a hole in it, Hugh.
So? I mean, where's the hole? Is it under the armpit? Or, I mean, you know, it's like some
no,
of those holes
it's
are kind of like,
close
you know,
to there. It's a little lower. It something happened where it got snagged in the washing machine, and put a hole in it. There's a couple of holes. It's like a pattern. It's almost like a constellation, like a little dipper there on my
a little
t-shirt.
Dipper in your
dipper
t-shirt.
T-shirt,
a little
there.
Dipper t-shirt. Gotcha.
But I don't wear it to work anymore.
Okay,
but
I mean,
but
you know,
Belichick,
that's personal preference.
No blanks given for him.
Yeah, because he's like, man, listen, I've won so many Super Bowls and been to so many Super Bowls.
I can do whatever I want. Yeah, what are you going to do?
I ain't thinking about what y'all think about me. You don't care.
Yeah.
Like you say, would you say zero Fs given? There you have it.
Pretty much. He could cheat. Nobody cares. So, I mean, that's kind of the way it works, I guess. You know, we'll see. I mean, I don't blame Cam for going there. They can get away with it. Nobody else can.
I'm gonna save this last story for tomorrow. We got to talk about this war of words involving Thursday Night Football. It took place over Twitter, guys. Did you see the back and forth between the quarterbacks of the Jaguars and the Dolphins, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Gardner Minshew?
You mean you're talking about beard and mustache?
The beard and mustache debate has – I mean, look, there's no doubt about it. Admiral Fitzpatrick over there with his Civil War-era beard is repping that group very well.
Oh no, he has rocked the beard for a while
now,
man. Yeah. I mean, he's been winning with the beard. Beard game is winning, no question.
But Gardner Minshew has kind of come on the scene. One,
Uncle Rico,
he's played well, and two, his mustache game is immaculate. And I'm gonna be honest, guys, because I can kind of get away with a beard. I cannot do the mustache thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fill in deep enough. It's not dark enough. The facial hair above my lips kind of lighter colored than like where the rest of my beard grows in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 35-year-old peach fuzz apparently. But so I can't do the mustache thing. But I kind of respect guys like Minshew or even when Mayfield had it for a little bit. I kind of respect that quite a bit because there's a level of confidence that takes to play quarterback. There might be a bigger level of confidence it takes to pull off that mustache.
No, I get it because you look like a porn star. I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean, you look like a porn star, Ron Jeremy-ish, you know, and it just looks kind of creepy. Like most creepy dudes that you see that are in police mugshots, they have, you know, that mustache. So there's that.
Yeah, can he pull off the mullet? That's the other thing, you know, I mean. But, yeah, you know, Fitzpatrick doing what he has to do for now. I mean, you know, he's having fun, which is good because he knows he's not for long. I mean, you know, he's
man,
the NFL.
Man, listen, you're talking about Fitzpatrick probably has played for more teams in the NFL than anybody recently.
No kidding.
But he has a skill set that keeps him employed. I'm not mad at him. And if that skill set gives you four games a year to keep you employed – by golly, do what you got to do. Rumble, young man, rumble.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Who is the Braves team MVP this year? And will Freddie or Ozuna cancel each other out? It's kind of an interesting little debate here. about what could happen in the postseason for some of the honors. Of course, what we're more worried about is how you fare in the postseason as a team. But nonetheless, we're going to take a kind of a little bit of a look because we were told something yesterday that kind of perked our ears up. We'll tell you what we were told and how it affects the team MVP and the MVP at large. Next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, worldwide at radio.com.
You don't need a radio to listen to The Game. Just download our app and listen anywhere, at any time.
With the powers vested in me, I pronounce you man and
gold! It's a goal! It's a goal! It's
okay,
a goal!
Almost anytime. Download the radio.com app now and take us with you from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Freddie, first pitch swing, hammers it into the right field corner. Here comes Ronald flying around second. He's on his way to third. He's got the green light. He's coming home. There'll be no relay. Freddie jumps on the first pitch, Tommy. He doubles home Acuna, and the Braves are on the board. It's 2-1.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Braves have found another little kind of key to unlock this massive offense, and that is Acuna leading off and Freddie hitting second. Those two have been just unbelievably lights out, and then you have Ozuna third. The top third of that order has been the best top third in all of baseball, hands down, not close, the best top third in all of baseball. And not that the lineup all the way through hasn't been, but boy, those three have really lit it up. Welcome back as we talk about the playoffs and also about the MVP, because Hugh, yesterday we had Ryan Spader on, one of our baseball experts. He's one of the stat geek guys. He's really renowned for being that, and he said that the MVP race in the National League is going to come down to two players, Freddie Freeman and Marcell Ozuna. In other words, not Mookie Betts, not Fernando Tatis Jr., but two Braves. And the only question is, will they cancel each other out?
Oh, wow. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that, you know, between the two, I think that you have to honestly, I think the nod goes to Freddie Freeman. To be totally honest, I think that when you talk about not only the way that he's played this year, John, how he got on the field, you know, this dude was battling COVID. You know, he had a huge scare in a time where, you know, we were still trying to figure out how this thing was going to attack your body, and you know, I talked about that a lot on the station about how, you know, this is one of those things that you don't know how you're going to respond to it. You don't know how you're going to bounce back from it. He's bounced back in a big way. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where I feel like with that and the fact that we're dealing with this pandemic, I think that Freddie gets the nod in this situation.
No, I got to tell you, not only do I think Freddie gets the nod for the team MVP, but if he doesn't win the NL MVP, there's something wrong with the voting, because as good a year as Juan Soto and Mookie Betts and as good a start as Fernando Tatis Jr. had, and as great a year as Marcell Ozuna's had, when the Braves needed somebody to help them kind of solidify things in the month of September during this pennant chase, when there were some times where, you know, it looked like the Phillies would make a run at them or the Marlins might make a run at them or that they might have some, you know, their own internal problems, all Freddie's done is hit over 400 in the month of September.
So yeah, you're talking about what, 0.43 batting average? Yeah, and it was a 1.363 OPS? Yeah. I think that with all of that going on, John, I mean, anybody who's been through anything knows how, like, when you're debilitated by a illness or something like that, that it takes a while for your body to recover. Any athlete knows that. And for him to start off slow like he did and then be on the tear that he's on right now, I think that you have to weigh that, especially with everything else that's going on. So I think that as well as Marcell Ozuna's doing, I think that Freddie Freeman gets not. And not only that, John, you're talking about for the last, 2013, 2016 to 2018, how he was in the top 10 for MVP voting. So I think and he's been with the Braves as long as he's been with them. I think that has something to do with it, too. I know it doesn't. It's not one of those, awards that you get for your past accolades, but still, I think that says a lot.
Well, and when you win MVP, and a number of Braves, of course, over the years have won the MVP title. I mean, Dale Murphy won it back-to-back. I mean, we've had a lot of Braves win MVP titles.
Chipper Jones won it.
Chipper Jones, of course, has won it. I mean, there have been a lot of guys that have won the MVP worn the Atlanta Braves uniform. But one year in particular that kind of strikes me in the MVP was when Terry Pendleton came over from the Cardinals and then won the MVP for the Braves. I think he hit 320 or something like that. I mean, he didn't have a whole lot of home runs or RBIs, but played great defense. But it was Terry Pendleton, it was just obvious that the reason that the Braves had solidified was around one guy. And not that this lineup hasn't had production through and through and through and through, but the one constant in all of it has been Freddie Freeman. And so, I think that Hugh, I don't think he's just a team MVP. I think he's the league MVP, and I'm sure that I'm not even sure it's close right now.
Yeah, I will say this, John. You talk about a lot of Braves winning. He would be only the fourth Brave to win it. So, you know, that would be an accolade within itself to be, you know, that the only he'll be in rarefied company if he actually won.
And so, we were just talking about the others, and so Freddie Freeman winning it would be. You know, I think appropriate here, not because of anything, like you said, anything in it. But the question that we put out on our Twitter isn't, you know, the MVP. It's the Braves team MVP. Now, I want you to take that differently. Most people are voting for Freddie Freeman, and that's fine. You know, we said, who has been the Braves team MVP this year? Has it been Marcell Ozuna? Has it been Freddie Freeman? Or has it been Max Fried? And the reason that I would vote for Max Fried it's on our Twitter right now at 929thegame, is because once Mike Soroka went down, and there was, you know, Cole Hamels gave you, 3 1/3 innings, and everybody else was melting down, and, you know, the Newcomb, Folty, I mean, you go down the list, everybody that melted down, you know, Tukey, you know, everybody, Bryce Wilson, whenever, you know, and granted, you know, guys like Tukey and Bryce had good starts, but at some point they melted down. Tommy Malone, you know, you name it, that was out there trying to, you know, get nailed down. Max Fried was the constant, and he held that whole staff together by himself, Hugh, in terms of, you know, the fact that I think he's a leading candidate, if not the Cy Young winner this year. He has been, I think, the real kind of MVP in that regard.
Yeah, I would say he's been a pleasant surprise, John, in a time where, you know, we were dependent on other guys to step up for us. I think he's been a pleasant surprise, and the thing that I like about him, the biggest thing that I like about him, is that when he's out there on the mound, he doesn't look rattled. I haven't seen a time where he's been pitching, that the game that I've watched, that whenever he gets in a little bit of trouble, that he looks like he's in a position where he's not in control of the situation. I mean, and that's one of the things that I've noticed about some of the better pitchers in the Major League Baseball, is that that's that look that they have. That's the common look amongst the better pitchers in baseball.
Well, you know, and you can jump into our Twitter at 929thegame and vote on that poll or see something else. Somebody said the bullpen. And the bullpen's been great. The bullpen may be the team MVP. You can make a case in a lot of ways for other guys. I mean, in a normal year, okay, not a normal year, because it's not normal, obviously, but in a regular season, the kind of years that Dansby Swanson's had might merit an MVP, a team MVP, Adam Duvall, a team MVP. But they don't even get looked at this year because that's how good the Braves have been. I don't know what they're going to do in the postseason awards, Hugh, but I do know this, that if Freddie doesn't win it and Ozuna doesn't win it, they'll be 2-3. I know that Max Fried will be at worst third, if not second, if he doesn't win the Cy Young, and Ian Anderson will be in the top four for Rookie of the Year. So the Braves have had individual performances this year that have been stellar. I mean, just stellar.
Yeah. I mean, like what you said, with everything that has been going on, there's no doubt about that. And for them, in the way that Brian Snicker has held these guys together, and they've come to play in this 60-game season.
Yeah, I don't see, you know, it's funny, Snicker has probably done his best job, managing this team, and he's been manager of the year before, but I'm not sure he's going to get manager of the year this year. It's just one of those weird things where I think, you know, somebody will look at, you know, Don Mattingly taking the Marlins because of all the COVID thing, and even though the Braves are, you know, potentially going to sweep the Marlins, if Miami makes the playoffs, they may vote for Don Mattingly because he helped them through the, you know, and, you know.
I mean, it pains you to keep it 100, but that's probably true, John. I mean, you talk about Miami was like the poster child for what not to do during the pandemic. Mm-hmm.
Right.
They were the poster child, and for them to put it together like they did and, you know, do what they're doing, I mean, yeah, you got to give them props for that.
Yeah, I think he'll end up winning NL Manager of the Year, and much as I don't like Don Mattingly, but you know what?
What did he do to
you? He ordered his pitcher to try to headhunt my star player. I think that let's start there, okay?
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I hear you. I gotcha.
Yeah. Let's begin with that one. And we'll end with that one. We'll just go there. I mean, I know he's an old school baseball guy, but you know, when you're headhunting our guy, okay. I'm never going to get, there's certain things I'm never going to get over. That's one of them. You know, I mean, it's not going to get over them. But he probably has earned it. Everything the Marlins have been through, even if the Braves sweep him tonight. But, boy, I tell you what, the Braves just right now, yeah, I almost wish the playoffs could start today. The way the Braves are swinging the bats, man, huge.
Yeah, because at some point they might get a little stagnant. I ain't gonna say cold because they've been pretty consistent over this 50-60 game stretch, but they might get a little cold at the wrong time. So we don't need that.
And by the way, if Ozuna wins MVP, how do you not sign him? How do you not sign the MVP?
See, that's the kicker, but this is the thing though, John. The season that he's having, you're gonna have to pay him.
Oh yeah. Well, but so what? Pay him. Yes.
I'm just saying.
Okay, and pay him. Pay the man.
Okay.
Yeah. Pay him. He's worth it. How great has he been for us? And you can't – the lineup suddenly is, locked in. Pay Darno. Keep him, too. I'm good. And go out and get another pitcher. I don't know. Maybe Soroka and Fried and Anderson and Wright can be your four. Okay? Well, we can start there. Sports Radio 92 on the game. All right, I got good news for you, and I got bad news for you if you're a Falcons fan. Which do you want first? I'll make that choice, which I give you first, next on the morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.